This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Californians banished Governor Gray Davis just 11 months into his second term and elected Arnold Schwarzenegger to replace him Tuesday in one of the most extraordinarily political melodramas in the nation's history. Voters traded a career Democratic politician who became one of the state's most despised chief executives for a moderate Republican movie star who had never before run for office. Davis became the first California governor and only the second nationwide to be recalled. Schwarzenegger will take office as soon as the election results are certified by the state, which could take 5 to 6 weeks. Facing stiff opposition at the UN Security Council to its plan for the future government of Iraq, the Bush administration has pulled back from seeking a quick vote endorsing the proposal and may shelve it altogether, administration officials said on Tuesday. 2 weeks after President Bush appealed at the UN for help in securing and reconstructing Iraq, top aides will soon decide whether it's worth the effort to get a United Nations endorsement. Originally, the administration said UN approval of American plans would encourage other countries to contribute money or troops. Now the tone has shifted to one of living without such help if necessary. The U.S. military has been unable to locate a large number of shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles that were part of Saddam Hussein's arsenal, compounding security risk for airports and airlines in Iraq and around the world. The lack of accounting for the missiles is the primary reason occupation authorities have not yet reopened Baghdad International Airport to commercial traffic. The terminal has been rebuilt and the runways repaired, and Australian soldiers are running the air traffic control system. But according to senior officials, portable missiles were fired at incoming planes several times in recent weeks. Most of these incidents have not been reported to the public. The on-again, off-again, no-call list is now on again. A federal appeals court let the Federal Trade Commission enforce its Do Not Call program against telemarketers yesterday. The appeals court ruling frees the commission to fine telemarketers up to $11,000 for each violation. The no-call list has registered more than 51 million phone numbers. More after this.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
A British scientist has calculated the optimum thickness for a slice of cheese to make the perfect cheese sandwich. In a bite-sized cheese sandwich, a slice of cheddar needs to be at least 2.8 millimeters thick. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com
or TakeBackTheMedia.com. I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
We're told that the beauty of America's political system is that we, the people, have the right to vote. Yes, but do we have the right to have our votes properly counted? In the old days, corrupt political bosses would sometimes stuff the ballot box or even steal the box. In today's modern computerized age, however, such thievery can be done by sophisticated software manipulation without anyone even touching the ballot boxes. Indeed, most states no longer have ballot boxes at all, having replaced them with touchscreen technology that, they promise, digitally records our votes in cyberspace. Swell. Except, how do we know that our digital votes on these computers actually are recorded in real space? There's growing evidence that not only can these machines be manipulated by hackers or unscrupulous sellers of the machines, but that such corruption of our votes already is taking place. In Georgia, for example, 22,000 touchscreen machines had to get emergency fixes in 2002 because a Rob Georgia software bug was found on the seller's site. The computer providers, however, refuse to let election officials examine their computer codes, claiming that the codes are proprietary trade secrets. Trust us, they say. No, I say, one reason we shouldn't trust them is that the two largest sellers of the machines also happen to be major campaign donors to George Bush's Republican Party. In Ohio, for example, the CEO of Diebold, a major seller, sent out a fundraising letter asking for $10,000 donations to Bush's reelection bid just one day prior to getting his touchscreen computers approved for use in Ohio. This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop electronic vote theft, support H.R. 2239, requiring a paper audit of all electronic votes. For info, call Representative Rush Holt, 202-225-5801.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting on terrestrial radio stations from border to border, from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, stream 145, and also broadcasting live on the Internet from radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, and with archives at whiterosesociety.org. You can find all of that stuff on the web, if you go to liberaltalkradio.com or tomhartman.com, you can also find the link to our chat room, where you will have you will discover one of the most erudite, intelligent, insightful, and thoughtful conversations going on in real time while we are on the air during these 3 hours. Some fascinating folks, always useful and interesting information. Just link off the chat room there. And also there's a message board. I think we're over 25,000 messages posted now. Thousands of members if you want to drop in and start a discussion that goes beyond just these 3 hours. And of course, very often we read these things on the air. It's the best way to contact us. So anyway, this is the Tom Hartman Program, and welcome. We have so much to cover today in our first hour of day 240. Of the day 240 of the search for weapons of mass distraction, day 751 in the search, wanted dead or alive, of that man whose name shall not pass the lips of George W. Bush, that is to say, his daddy's brother, his daddy's business partner's son, Osama bin Laden. In this day, we're going to cover number one in our first hour. How long? Will politics as usual remain before democracy returns to America? We want to get into the situation with Arnold. Could he have survived a primary? Is the Enron information going to come out? Is the LA Times now going to be talking? Is anybody going to be talking about this, or are they going to say, oh, that's old news? Arnold meeting with Ken Lay the week of the rolling blackouts in California, meeting with Ken Lay and Michael Milken in Los Angeles to plan the strategy to rebut Cruz Bustamante's $9 billion lawsuit against Enron and the other energy thieves who ripped off California. Is that story going to make the mainstream media now? Or are they going to say, well, that's old news? I mean, who knows? We want to get into the White House and Condi Rice. Boy, have things changed there. Things seem to be going kind of crazy in the White House. And we're going to get into weapons of mass destruction, Wesley Clark's internal battles. In our second hour, are we witnessing the final conservative conquest of America and liberal democracies all around the world? The wiping out of the middle class, which is essential to the survival of democracy. And we're going to talk about, how is wealth created? What's happening to our jobs? What does it really mean when jobs go offshore? What is this free trade stuff all about? And we're gonna, in a way that, you know, boiling it down to what does this mean to you and me? What does this have to do with democracy? What's the hope here? What can we do about it? And in our third hour, are we heading for inflation or deflation? And what will that mean to you and me? Starting out, Congressman John Conyers here in How Long Will Politics as Usual Remain Before Democracy Returns to America? Congressman John Conyers of Michigan. This guy, John Conyers, is one of, the most respected elder statesmen in the United States Congress. This is one of the fellows who was marching with Martin Luther King. He's been around forever in fighting for the truth, justice, and the American way, literally for the rights of Americans, American workers, American citizens of all colors and all types and all stripes. By the way, let me digress for just a minute in that regard. Some of you will recall that Sunday I was on ESPN TV on their Between the Lines program and talking about Rush Limbaugh's comments the week before on ESPN that led to his resignation on the same day that his buying 4,000 pill. Now, you know, if it wasn't a rich white guy, the prosecutors would be saying, this is intent to sell. Well, we'll see how that plays out. Anyway, I don't want to get into that right now. But I was on the show, and I made the point that racism is at its core about power. To define another person, to say, oh, that person is Italian-American or African-American or Norwegian-American, or what, that's not racism. That's labeling. Racism is when you use the label to assert power over another person, individually, culturally, organizationally. That's racism. And I made that point on the program, there were three of us on the program, me and two African-American guys, and one of them was agreeing with me and one was disagreeing, and it was an interesting conversation. We were on for about 20 minutes. And I get this email. This is what happens when you do this. That's from mrkbender9@aol.com. He didn't sign his name to it, so I'm assuming that that's his identity. And he says, I almost wanted to puke at your comments on Outside the Lines this weekend. He goes on to say, racism has nothing to do with power. Nothing in all caps. Yeah, right. Look in the dictionary. Racism is defined as that of racial differences producing an inherent superiority of a particular race. Power is not even mentioned. And he has like five exclamation marks. Well, if one group is claiming to be superior to another group, you don't think that has something to do with power? I mean, yeah. And then he goes on. I mean, this is somebody who has been listening to Rush Limbaugh too long. He says, dump all this crap that blacks can't be racist because of this power crap. Well, no, I never said that blacks can't be racist. Racism exists among all groups. I didn't even go there. Never said that. Of course, that's the hallucination of the paranoid cons who aggressively promote racism in code. The new racist code is colorblind society. Yeah, right. He says, you left-wingers have this inherent belief that it's okay for blacks to hate whites, but whites cannot hate blacks. No, I'm sorry, I never said that either. He says, grow something between your legs, you wimp, and stand up for what is right. Yes, well, mrkbender9@aol.com, thank you very much for sharing. This is... I get these things. I get these nutty things. I get death threats, and that's life in the big city. But anyway, here we have this situation where John Conyers, who recognizes racism when he sees it. That's what got me started on this. Anyhow, John Conyers, a man who I have tremendous respect for, wrote a letter yesterday, I believe. Yeah, today's the 8th. Yesterday was the 7th. Wrote a letter yesterday to Karl Rove. And that letter is, I'm not sure how this was released. I doubt it was read into the congressional record. Maybe he simply shared it with reporters. Maybe Rove's office released it. I seriously doubt that. October 7, 2003, John Conyers. Dear Mr. Rove, I write to ask you to resign from the White House staff. He goes on to say, it is shameful and unethical that an administration that promised to govern with, quote, honor and integrity, unquote, and, quote, change the tone, end quote, in Washington has now engaged in an orchestrated campaign to smear and intimidate truth-telling critics, placing them in possible physical harm and impairing the efforts and operations of the Central Intelligence Agency. Recent reports indicate that you told the journalist Chris Matthews, and perhaps others, that Mr. Wilson's wife and her undercover status were, quote, fair game, end quote. Evan Thomas and Michael Isikoff, Newsweek, October 13, 2003. Since these initial allegations have arisen, neither the White House nor your office have denied your involvement in furthering the leak. And he goes on to talk about how whenever anybody has talked about Karl Rove, they've talked about it in these kind of legalisms, you know, well, you know, maybe he wasn't, quack, 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 quack. And John Conyers wraps it up. He says, over three decades ago, our nation, this referring, of course, to Richard Nixon and Watergate, our nation was scarred by an administration that would stop at nothing to smear and intimidate its critics. I do not believe this nation will countenance a repeat of such activities. For your role in this campaign, I would ask that you resign immediately. Sincerely, John Conyers, Jr., ranking minority member of the House Judiciary. Yeah, the House Judiciary Committee. Good on you, John Conyers. Here's, Joe Wilson. I mean, it was his wife whose contacts may have already been murdered. The CIA doesn't talk about this stuff, but she was, not only was she undercover, but according to most of the news sources, she was undercover in counterterrorism operations. Counterterrorism! So this means the Patriot Act could be invoked. They could do sneak and peeks in Karl Rove's office. They could declare him an enemy combatant and hold him without access to attorneys and without access to bail. They could hold him incommunicado in a cage in Guantanamo. But will they? Will they? Somehow I doubt it. But Joe Wilson has dreams, you know.
But we'll see. I mean, I don't think we're going to let this drop. At the end of the day, it's of keen interest to me to see whether or not we can get Karl Rove frog marched out of the White House in handcuffs.
There you go. And time will tell whether or not Karl Rove gets frog marched out of the White House in handcuffs. Of course, the official White House response to this has been...
I know nothing, I see nothing, and I say nothing.
Yes, indeed. Despite President Bush's repeated... In fact, it gets worse. It gets worse. Despite President Bush's repeated pledges of full cooperation, administration officials yesterday, this from the Boston Globe, executive privilege seen as leak case option, yesterday's Boston Globe. Today's Boston Globe, excuse me. Despite President Bush's repeated pledges of full cooperation, administration officials yesterday refused to rule out invoking executive privilege to shield some documents from Justice Department investigators looking into whether someone in the White House illegally leaked the name of a CIA operative. Ted Kennedy had some thoughts on this. He says, asserting executive privilege would make a farce of the investigation. That's why we need a special prosecutor so we can challenge any cover-up. See, the bottom line is that executive privilege is designed to protect a president's discussions about why they're making decisions. So that, you know, if they're saying, well, you know, if we do this, it's going to rouse the Soviets. You don't want that, no. But it's not to hide crimes. It is not to hide crimes. Sorry, guys. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con and conservatives. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Oh. Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
If you've got a clogged up nose, simply stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, simply stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, simply stuffy.
Simply stuffy. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling spry, simply stuffy.
Simply stuffy. Use as directed.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Hey, look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
Amazing.
George, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. How long will politics as usual remain before democracy returns to America? Our question for the hour. We got a conservative alert coming up here in a little bit, too, by the way. The incredible, incredible stuff that the RNC sends out to their gullible listener, their gullible mailing. I encourage you to go to www.rncrepublicannationalcommittee.org and sign up for their mailings. It is it's mind-boggling. Well, I'm going to share that with you a little later on in the program. But I wanted to continue with this executive privilege thing. This is going to be real interesting. This is going to be very interesting to see how this thing plays out, and to see, you know, how and if and just, you know, the whole thing. How is this going to play out? We have the White House talking about these issues, for example.
And so we're making good progress in Iraq. Sometimes it's hard to tell it when you listen to the filter. We're making good progress.
Yeah, George W. trying to change the topic.
How many sources have you had that's leaked information that you've exposed or have been exposed? Probably none. I mean, this town is a town full of people who like to leak information. And I don't know if we're going to find out. The senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea. I'd like to.
Yeah, right.
I want to know the truth. If we're going to find out, the senior administration.
This is just incredible. The president of the United States, who will take an American citizen, declare him our enemy combatant, throw him in prison without access to an attorney, without access to bail, not charged with a crime in direct violation of the 6th, 7th, and 8th Amendments of the United States. And then he says about somebody in his own administration who has committed a clear and demonstrable crime against the Central Intelligence Agency. I mean, you think Johnny Walker Lind was doing, you know, he over there in Afghanistan, you know, playing soldier boy with the Taliban. And perhaps something he was doing led to the death of a CIA agent. Here we have a CIA agent being outed. She's afraid for her life. Her contacts have been compromised. An entire intelligence network has been crashed as a result of this. People may have died. And we have the President of the United States saying...
And I don't know.
I don't know. It just...
And I don't know.
Yeah. If the White House, this again from this Boston Globe article, today's paper, if the White House asserts a claim of executive privilege, according to an attorney who worked in the Office of Legal Counsel during the Carter and Reagan administrations, a fellow by the name of Sargent, it would be a strong sign that the investigation is heading to the highest levels of the Bush administration. In other words, it could be pointing at the president himself. Given that the claim of executive privilege can only be used to shield the president's decision-making process. Understand this very clearly. This the executive privilege is designed. They want this thing set up so that If the President of the United States, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis, and John Kennedy is playing Russian roulette with the Russians, and he's trying to decide, okay, if we stop them, if we force a blockade, will they start a nuclear war? If we stop it here, if we stop it there, what does our intelligence tell us about Khrushchev's mindset? What do we know about the generals? What do we know about the internal battles that are going on in the Soviet Union? They have a discussion about this. Now, this is stuff that rightfully Kennedy would say, I'm sorry, executive privilege. We are not going to release these notes of this decision-making process to the press because it would compromise national security. But executive privilege does not mean that you can hide crimes. It does not mean that. This is Tom Hartman, Talk Radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
It's week two of a strike of Chicago's trash collectors, and only the city's rat population is happy. Uncollected trash began piling up outside apartment homes and businesses September 30th as waste haulers with the city's private trash collection agencies went on strike. Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley has vowed to sue the Chicago Area Refuse Haulers Association, the Teamsters Union, or possibly both, over the dispute. Yesterday, a federal mediator joined talks after trash collectors overwhelmingly rejected management's latest contract offer.
Bechtel Corporation, a construction contractor with more than $600 million worth of building contracts in Iraq, is being sued by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission for discriminating against an Iraqi-American worker. The man, originally from Michigan, was working at a Bechtel facility in New Jersey 2 years ago during the terrorist attacks on New York and Washington, D.C. After those incidents, the man was constantly harassed by other Bechtel workers and was even beaten up a few times. The EEOC says the company did nothing to stop it, instead firing the man after he complained.
Former Washington, D.C. Teachers Union Chief Barbara Bullock pled guilty yesterday in a federal court to charges of mail fraud and conspiracy. During her 8-year tenure, Bullock used her union's coffers as a personal piggy bank, spending as much as $2.5 million of dues money on luxury items, furniture, and cosmetics. She faces up to 10 years in prison and $500,000 in fines.
Good news for 2,600 current and former employees of Sodexo Marriott Services. On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court dismissed Sodexo Marriott's challenge to their class action lawsuit. The workers, who are all non-white, claim rampant racial discrimination in the housekeeping and food service giant's promotion practices.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
Welcome to Truth and Common Sense in Broadcasting, the No Spoon Feeding Zone. Here are the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Our quote for the day from that loyal and noble patriot Ken Starr: no one is above the law, not even the sitting president. Let me change the topic here very quickly. Let's talk about the election here that happened in California yesterday for just a moment. First of all, I think it's interesting to remember that Arnold is not the first Austrian politician to rise to prominence in a nation outside of his birth. There was another Austrian born relatively close to where Arnold was born, who rose to power. In fact, Mel Brooks wrote a marvelous song about him. Yes, that good Austrian Adolf.
Is happy and, gay.
And maybe California is too.
We're marching to a faster pace.
Ah, yes, a faster pace.
Look out. Here comes the master race.
Ah, yes, the master race is now in charge. And Oh, boy. If Arnold actually said that stuff, and it appears that he actually did. You know, the right-wingers, when I was on this talk radio thing in Washington, D.C., one of the right-wingers was like, in fact, it was Laura Ingraham, as I recall. She was sitting next to me. Yeah, it was. She says, you know, if I had some book proposal and somebody pulled it. No, it wasn't about a book proposal. It was about an interview. The interview went into the book proposal, but it was about an interview. So anyhow, we've got this Arnold thing in California, and it never came out. It never came out that way back 2 years ago, as the recall was being planned, before the recall was planned, right after Cruz Bustamante had personally sued all these power companies for ripping off the state and filed this $9 billion class action lawsuit against them, that Ken Lay called a meeting at the Beverly Hills Peninsula Hotel on May 17th, 2001, and Michael Milken was there and Arnold Schwarzenegger was there to talk about how to head off this $9 billion lawsuit to give back to the people of California the money from the power companies. And as a result of that, California, of course, was thrown into a fiscal crisis because the power companies robbed them blind. What are your thoughts on all this? 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Armin in Florida has some thoughts on this. Armin, thank you for waiting. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you very much. Back to your other topic and then back to this topic, if it's okay with you. You're the boss.
Sure.
As far as this executive privilege,
yeah,
would the right wing be happy if Hillary Clinton, for one day, became the little woman that was subservient to her husband? And the cameras all pulled up there, and she monogrammed or sewed on to Bill Clinton all his pants at the crotch, executive privilege,
yeah,
and
right.
Wore them around.
You're stretching the metaphor, Armin, but it's certainly, I mean, you know, executive privilege was.
See, he didn't use.
You know, I don't recall Clinton trying to invoke executive privilege, did he?
No, that's my point. I'm making a point out of it that he didn't try to use it to. He could have. I mean, some people in an open mind
could have tried.
Could debate that by him allowing the right wing to manipulate him the way they did to get him to bomb Kosovo and put a PNAC military base there. I mean, if he would have come out and told the truth about that, in my opinion, you know, that they were that was a threat to national security the way he perceived it and a lot of the people, if they were explained what was really going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yep.
Would that satisfy him, you think?
I don't have a clue. I've given up on trying to figure out what the cons in this country, what will satisfy. It's clear to me what they want. What they want is a return to feudalism and aristocracy. What they want is rule by the rich. They want to eviscerate the middle class, and they want to do away with democracy and replace it with pseudo-aristocratic feudalism, a form of modern feudalism that was invented by Benito Mussolini. This is so clear to me that this is the conservative agenda. It is so obvious to anybody who spends any time at all looking at it. But beyond that, you know, as far as the individuals go, sometimes their thought processes are so close to hallucinatory that I have a hard time imagining them. What are your thoughts on the elections here, Armin?
Well, maybe if they used red letters, that would satisfy him. If Hillary sewed on red executive privilege on the crotch of all his pants, maybe they'd go for it then. They like colors, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the topic of the election in California.
Mm.
Selection, excuse me.
Well, it was an election. I mean, let's give them credit for that. It was a real election. The problem was that if there had been a primary period, as in a normal election, Schwarzenegger, I don't think, would have survived it. I mean, the sexual stuff would have come out, and the Republicans would have dropped him like a hot potato. There would have been time for the news media to vet the story about his affiliation with Ken Lay and the energy companies. You know, the dirty laundry would have come out, and he would have collapsed. But with 30, 40 days, something like that, 90 days, I don't remember how many days it was from the time that he declared until the campaign was over. But with that short an election cycle, there really isn't time to get to know a candidate at all. It's all flush. It's all flash. It's all pomp and flash.
Right.
No substance. But it was an election.
A couple quick points. In other words, this was really all things considered, literally a rush job. But anyway, think about that.
Yeah.
Here's my question, then we'll get on to the selection or election. Here's the question I have. What would the supposedly willfully ignorant voters think of these headlines today? And at all the newspapers in California, if the headlines were this, Enron Groper selected. And then right below it, you know how they always put the contents of, you know, the next heading size. What taxpayers will he grope for California's debt and his media masters?
Yeah.
What do you
think?
That's
the sort
of
thing. I mean, you know, it's the sort of thing that BuzzFlash would run, and God bless him for it. BuzzFlash does a great job of just, you know, putting this stuff out in the kind of Matt Drudge on the left rhetoric, you know, of hey, look at this. And then you've got Common Dreams doing it in a much more careful and journalistic, you know, kind of Columbia Journalism Review style. And I think that there's that both of them are filling an important niche and doing an important service. But I doubt that the L.A. Times would ever run anything like that.
But can you imagine that, though? I just wonder what these, you know, we keep hearing about willfully ignorant people. And I think that there's so few of those people really out there. I think if you're constantly fed lies, look at what the German people did, okay?
Yeah.
The German people were persecuted with fear and threats and lies. Fear, threats, and lies. Fear, threats, and lies.
Yeah, and that trio, and if you repeat it enough and you do it frequently enough and you've got your terror alerts and your warnings, and you have to create a them. There has to be a them. You know, for the Nazis, it was the trade unionists, it was the Jews, it was the liberals, it was the communists. Well, actually, I think it started out with the communists. You know, Marius von der Lubbe, who was accused of burning the Reichstagsgebäude, and they said, you know, he's a communist, and that's how they, and everything was in the name of anti-communism for the first few months. And then it was, oh, wow, the Jews are behind the communists, and so they dragged them into it. And then it was, the trade unionists, they're in bed with the communists, and dragged them, and on it went. But you have to create a them. And then you've got to terrorize people that them are going to get us. And you've got to create an us. And in 1934, in the Nuremberg rally, Rudolf Hess got up and introduced Adolf Hitler. You've heard the clip on this program. Introduced Adolf Hitler by introducing a word which the Bush administration introduced into the lexicon here, which had never been heard, you know, frankly, in my entire lifetime. I mean, I knew what the word was, but I'd never heard it in political discourse. This word that the Nazis very carefully took from the Zionist movement, that of creating, you know, the sense of tribe and homeland, because the Nazis wanted to create a sense of the master race, that the Germans were somehow a race apart from other Europeans. And so here we have Rudolf Hess introducing this magic word, part of your three-part thing here that you're talking about, Armin, this magic word, the word homeland. Here it is in the original German.
Dank Ihrer Führung.
Thank you to the Führer.
Deutschland, sein Ziel erreichen.
Deutschland now is to return the homeland is now.
Heimat zu sein.
Yeah, it is the homeland.
Alle Deutschen der Welt.
For all Germans, for all Germans in the world. Yeah. And so, you know, right after 9/11, we hear this, suddenly we're not the United States of America anymore. Suddenly it's not domestic security. Remember, it was before that. It is homeland. It creates this mentality of us and them. So, anyhow, I interrupted you, Armin. You want to finish your point there?
Isn't it just amazing how the ruling establishment consistently and predictably uses division to enforce their entrenchment?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree. And Armin, thanks for calling and sharing that with us. I appreciate it. It is nothing new. And that's why it is so important that we awaken each other and others, that people speak out, that we not have this kind of rise of power in the United States that we have seen in other countries. You know, you see it in right-wing talk radio. There's this huge echo chamber of all these folks who are who are, you know, promoting the aristocracy, promoting the right, the corporate rule of America, which we're going to get into in our second hour when we ask the question, are we witnessing the final conservative conquest of America? But anyhow, let me a few other things here. In this, how long will politics as usual remain before democracy returns to America? We've talked about Arnold. We've talked about the White House with Karl Rove. Have you noticed that Wesley Clark's campaign manager just quit, Donnie Fowler? Here's a couple interesting things about this. Donnie Fowler, he's 35 years old. He's the son of the former Democratic Party chairman, Don Fowler. And there's a bunch of Clinton Gore people in Clark's campaign. Mark Fabiani, who is his communications advisor. Ron Klain, who is his policy advisor. Eli Siegel, the campaign chairman. Remember, Mickey Cantor is advising the Clark campaign. And apparently, Fowler quit. It says that he was leaving over widespread concerns that supporters who use the Internet to draft Clark into the race, I'm reading from an AP story here, are not being taken seriously by top campaign officials. Fowler also complained that the campaign's message and methods were focused too much on Washington. Which makes me wonder if what's going on in the Clark campaign right now is the same battle that I think that we're seeing writ large across the Democratic Party. You've got the old guard in the Democratic Party, the DNC, and the new version of the old guard, the DLC, the Democratic Leadership Council, which, you know, was kind of Bill Clinton's invention, and he rode to power, and it was basically saying, hey, you know, labor isn't so important, let's get in bed with the corporations, they have more money. That's the DLC, in my opinion. That's the DLC shtick. And so you've got the kind of old Democrats who have become kind of the new Democrats on the one hand. And it's all about money and large organizations and power. Not unlike the Republicans in many regards, although the Republicans are so much more toxic. But the Democrats have a pretty, these old I don't want to say the old-fashioned Democrats, because I still have a lot of respect for the labor unions in the United States. I think that they're the last, they are the only thing that stands between us and complete corporate rule. If corporations can organize into things like chambers of commerce and trade associations, why can't labor organize? If capital can organize, if money can aggregate into the form of a corporation, why can't workers organize within an organization? And, you know, and why can't they enjoy the same protections? Corporations have incredible protections under the law. And labor protections in many states are minimal to non-existent. But I digress. Anyhow, I think that what's going on here is in the Clark campaign, you've got some people, apparently Donnie Fowler being one of them, who really believe the Howard Dean kind of worldview that, hey, let's go to the people, the real people. You know, with an average contribution of 50, 70, 80 bucks, whatever it is, you know, small contributions, lots of people, let's do real democracy here. And then you got folks who are saying, no, 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 no. We need to talk to the Washington power brokers. We need to talk to the lobbyists, these guys who walk around in the Gucci shoes with the $10,000 checks in their pockets. That's what we need to do. And apparently this battle has come to the Clark campaign. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, and Rama in Vermont. Rama, thanks so much for filling in for me last Friday. Appreciate it.
That was a ton of fun, Tom. I would thank you for giving me the chance to do it. I love doing that. Just real quick on California, for what I see as a bright side. I mean, first of all, we saw a candidate come in, and the voters were just sick of the status quo, the big government, the protection of the big corporations. I mean, no matter what you might think about Arnold, apparently Gray Davis was no sweet cheeks either. He was in bed with Enron and large corporations just as much as Schwarzenegger is.
Yeah, apparently that may be why Cruz Bustamante's was the one who filed the lawsuit against these corporations, these $9 billion class action lawsuit. Although I've seen some stories that say it was both him and Davis. So, you know, yeah. I frankly don't live in California. I'm not a scholar of California politics. Neither are you. I'm not sure we can say these things with absolute certainty.
Well, but reading some of the after vote. Comments that made it to the papers. People had made up their minds. They just did not want the status quo. They wanted something in there to shake it up. And it took a Republican who went out and stated he was pro-choice for abortions. He was pro-environmental regulation. He was against school vouchers. He worked hard to pass Proposition 47, which mandated state funds for educational purposes. So it's not all bad.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see if this pushes the Republican Party to the middle, or if Arnold gets marginalized, or if they just use him for a while and throw him away, or if he really is a stalking horse for Enron. Lots of questions. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thanks for the call, Rama. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
You know, I actually used to take Tylenol, but not anymore, because now I get relief 15 minutes faster on tough pain with Advil Liquid Gels. Advil Liquid Gels actually rush relief 15 minutes faster. Now, how great does that sound? Imagine 15 wonderful, precious minutes faster. Now, why would I ever use anything else for pain relief? Advil Liquid Gels, 15 minutes faster.
Remember that scholarship you were hoping for to help pay for your son's college?
Hey, Bill, your kid's running the wrong way.
Well, I wouldn't count on it. But there is something you can count on. We're College Loan Corporation, a company dedicated to helping you finance or refinance your college education with interest rates as low as 2.63%. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE today and find out how you can take advantage of the lowest interest rates in 40 years. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
yes,
I was
know.
Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio
All right,
Network.
Boys, come on!
Show. Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troop lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you say they said, or is this what they had stated in a policy and in a
This
in
is
a
what they
contract?
Said.
Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Speaking from behind the good old working class stainless steel microphone high up in the green mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont, this is Tom Hartman of the IE America Radio Network. The last part of this is perhaps the biggest part, and I'm just kind of wrapping the hour up here with it, but it's this is the story to watch. Did you notice that Condoleezza Rice was put in basically in charge of Iraq, and that Don Rumsfeld apparently didn't even know about it? I mean, this is very strange stuff. It's interesting. George Bush, I think, has a tendency to find people that he trusts and completely rely on them. He's done this throughout his political career with Karl Rove. Karl Rove made him governor. The book Bush's Brain talks about this, the history of Karl Rove. He completely depended upon Rove. And does to this day, which is one of the reasons, no doubt, why he is trying to kill this investigation into Rove's participation in outing the CIA agent. And Karen Hughes has turned him into a competent public speaker, taught him how to speak, taught him how to answer questions, taught him how to not smirk. And when she tried to quit, he offered her, you know, the sun and the moon to come back and help out. Whenever he gets in trouble, he calls Karen Hughes. You really want to know when George Bush is having problems. Watch Karen Hughes. Watch when she's there and when she's not. It's a story that the press doesn't much report on. And Condi Rice, I think she has become one of those persons on whom he completely trusts and depends. And clearly, he doesn't trust Don Rumsfeld anymore. So now he's got this Iraq stabilization group. First of all, he says, we got to have a bureaucratic shakeup. Things aren't going well, right? So the president is impatient with bureaucracy, says a senior administration official. So what does he do? He creates a new bureaucracy. But it's one that he can control through Condi Rice. It's headed by Condoleezza Rice, the Iraq Stabilization Group. And it completely mixes up the chain of command. Paul Bremer still reports to Don Rumsfeld, but both have deputies on Rice's committee to coordinate the policy at the White House. This is a ploy to shift power away from the Pentagon and into the White House. George and I, frankly, I think it's not just George Bush depending on Condi Rice. I think it's Karl Rove saying, we've got to do something about 2004 because Rumsfeld is becoming a political liability. We've got to change things. So anyhow, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. This is Tom Hartman, where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Facing stiff opposition at the UN Security Council to its plan for the future government of Iraq, the Bush administration has pulled back from seeking a quick vote endorsing the proposal and may shelve it altogether, administration officials said on Tuesday. 2 weeks after President Bush appealed at the UN for help in securing and reconstructing Iraq, top aides will soon decide whether it's worth the effort to get a United Nations endorsement. Originally, the administration said UN approval of American plans would encourage other countries to contribute money or troops. Now the tone has shifted to one of living without such help if necessary. The U.S. military has been unable to locate a large number of shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles that were part of Saddam Hussein's arsenal, compounding security risk for airports and airlines in Iraq and around the world. The lack of accounting for the missiles is the primary reason occupation authorities have not yet reopened Baghdad International Airport to commercial traffic. The terminal has been rebuilt and the runways repaired, and Australian soldiers are running the air traffic control system. But according to senior officials, portable missiles were fired at incoming planes several times in recent weeks. Most of these incidents have not been reported to the public. Californians banished Governor Gray Davis just 11 months into his second term and elected Arnold Schwarzenegger to replace him Tuesday in one of the most extraordinarily political melodramas in the nation's history. Voters traded a career Democratic politician who became one of the state's most despised chief executives for a moderate Republican movie star who had never before run for office. Davis became the first California governor and only the second nationwide to be recalled. Schwarzenegger will take office as soon as the election results are certified by the state, which could take 5 to 6 weeks. The on-again, off-again, no-call list is now on again. A federal appeals court let the Federal Trade Commission enforce its do-not-call program against telemarketers yesterday. The appeals court ruling frees the commission to fine telemarketers up to $11,000 for each violation. The no-call list has registered more than 51 million phone numbers. More after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
German women fed up with their partners grumbling on shopping trips can now dump them at a special kindergarten for men. The men get 2 beers, a hot meal, televised football, and games. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
We're told that the beauty of America's political system is that we, the people, have the right to vote. Yes, but do we have the right to have our votes properly counted? In the old days, corrupt political bosses would sometimes stuff the ballot box or even steal the box. In today's modern computerized age, however, such thievery can be done by sophisticated software manipulation without anyone even touching the ballot boxes. Indeed, most states no longer have ballot boxes at all, having replaced them with touchscreen technology that, they promise, digitally records our votes in cyberspace. Swell. Except, how do we know that our digital votes on these computers actually are recorded in real space? There's growing evidence that not only can these machines be manipulated by hackers or unscrupulous sellers of the machines, but that such corruption of our votes already is taking place. In Georgia, for example, 22,000 touchscreen machines had to get emergency fixes in 2002 because a Rob Georgia software bug was found on the seller's site. The computer providers, however, refuse to let election officials examine their computer codes, claiming that the codes are proprietary trade secrets. Trust us, they say. No, I say. One reason we shouldn't trust them is that the two largest sellers of the machines also happen to be major campaign donors to George Bush's Republican Party. In Ohio, for example, the CEO of Diebold, a major seller, sent out a fundraising letter asking for $10,000 donations to Bush's reelection bid just one day.
And first of all, just our quote for the day from Ken Starr, no one is above the law, not even the sitting president. It's my contention that democracy, or, you know, whatever the right-wing politically correct word police want to call it, a constitutionally limited democratic republic cannot exist in a healthy fashion without a strong middle class. And this is something that has been pointed out by people starting with Jefferson and Thomas Paine. FDR was eloquent about it. Teddy Roosevelt talked about it at length. You have heard clips on this program recorded back in 1913 of Teddy Roosevelt saying that we must have a living wage in America when he introduced the phrase, well, when the populist movement introduced the phrase, and he made it very popular. And the whole thing about, as a country becomes more and more desperate and poor, as the middle class erodes, democracy diminishes. Now, I know there are those out there who say, well, America wasn't started by a middle class. It was started by a bunch of rich plantation owners, and it was all by I'm going to do an entire show on that because it's not true. And I know you're thinking, wait a minute, what? You know, and I don't want to get into it at length right now, but we have had a strong middle class in the United States. With the exception, I mean, the middle, from its founding through its diminishing in the late 1880s, 1890s, 1900, the middle class started to fade. And in response to that, you saw the populist and progressive movement come out and get very strong, trying to defend the middle class. And a lot of laws were changed and passed as a result of this. This led to things like women's suffrage, the right of women to vote that was finally passed in 1920. It led to laws like the one that we just saw played out in California where people could actually, individuals outside of the political process, because the politicians were so corrupt, could place ballot initiatives on the ballot, or they could recall governors, things like that. These laws are on the books in many of our states. These all track back to the populist and the progressive movements. The Wobblies, the labor union movement got very strong back then. Joe Hill, we did a whole show on Joe Hill, 5-6 months ago, those of you who remember it. Who Joan Baez did the song about, but, you know, it's many, many songs. And in order, and then the middle class started to fade again during the Great Depression. And Franklin Roosevelt stepped in and said, you know, if we don't do something, what we call democracy, what we call America, is at risk. This could harm. I mean, the two threats that were seen in the 1930s by those who were politically conscious, internationally politically conscious, were the threat on the extreme left of pseudo-Marxist communism. And I say pseudo-Marxist because it was a dictatorial communism, Stalinism, let's call it, where the state controlled everything. The state controlled the means of production. Nobody, to the best of my knowledge, in the rational left in America is proposing this. Although this is the stalking horse. This is the straw man that the cons continually pull out of the pile. Oh, look at this. They want to go back to Karl Marx. Sam, state mean control. No. So there was this very, you know, real concern that seductive nature, that seductive idea of the state controlling the means of production, you know, from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs, that communism could come to the United States. And the evisceration of the middle class actually did lead to a lot of people in the 1920s, 1930s in particular, in the 1930s during the Great Depression, thinking that communism might be the answer. Certainly seemed that whatever we had wasn't working because so many, I mean, you know, bread lines, people were out of work, people were committing suicide, terrible, terrible problems. So there was that on the left, that threat that Roosevelt saw, the threat of Stalinism. And there was the threat on the right of fascism, this form of government that Benito Mussolini had put together of saying we're going to merge corporate interests with a democratic state and have the state operate in the benefits of the corporate interests and have the corporate interests operate in a way that will perpetuate the power of the state. And what this will do is the state, Mussolini himself in large part, will get the benefit of having the financial support of the corporate interests so that they can maintain power. And the financial interest, the corporate interest, will get the benefit of the state being able to throw them business and control regulation in a way that whether or not it's harmful to we the people, it's helpful to they the corporations. And the American Heritage Dictionary, 1987, the definition of the word fascism, and I quote, a merging of state and business interests combined with belligerent nationalism, end quote. And Benito Mussolini said fascism should more appropriately be called corporatism because it is the merging of corporate and state interests. So Roosevelt looked out at this and he saw on the left, as a result of the loss of the middle class in America, he saw on the left the danger of people gravitating toward Stalinistic communism, and on the right the danger of those who were concerned about America dissolving into anarchy or there being a change in government, those who were reacting against the communists and the socialists, and who are two separate different groups, by the way, but in the minds of those on the right, they were the same, or they were similar enough to make them freak out. And those on the right who Roosevelt was concerned, might embrace fascism. And so Roosevelt said, we have to restore the middle class because the defense against fascism on the right and Stalinism on the left, the defense is a strong middle class. And to create a strong middle class, he put in place a whole bunch of policies, the main one being that the government would be, at least on a temporary basis, the employer of last resort if people couldn't find a job. So all this brings us back around to the question of how is wealth created? Where and when does wealth create it? Because the creation of wealth is key to understanding how the middle class survives. You know, what holds it together, what pulls it together, what makes it happen. And people say, well, wealth is created when you extract minerals from the ground. Right? Poof, instant wealth. Or when it's discovered, somebody makes money. Or when something is produced. Yeah, okay. But wealth is created on two levels. When something is made, when you take raw materials and convert them into something of value, you are adding value to those raw materials. Part of the value that you're adding is the intellectual value of knowing how to do it. Right. We know how to make a computer out of silicon and germanium and plastic and metal, and so there's an intellectual raw material there. And the holders of that are rewarded by their patents and their ownership of that sort of thing. And then there's the labor that is put into it, whether it's by machine or a person running a machine or a person doing the work itself. So labor is creating value. Abraham Lincoln said, and I'm paraphrasing from memory here, something to the effect of, I think this is verbatim, labor is the superior of capital because labor precedes capital. In other words, you have to have something, somebody doing something, making something, before you can have somebody earning money and then making money and then building businesses. You know, without labor, there is no capital. So some wealth is produced by the introduction of labor into the process. And then wealth is produced as a consequence of the synthesis of labor and the raw material and the idea. I hope I'm not getting too didactic here. This is about as deep as I want to go into this, but I just want to make this really clear, because the point of this is that there are basically two kind of, think of them as two hot spots, two glowing sources of wealth in the production process. And one of those is where labor is happening, where work is being introduced into something. And the other is who controls the process, who knew how to make it happen, and who controls the distribution and sale of it. So you've got the labor is creating wealth and deriving wealth. And you've got the business, or the business with the corporate interest, that is creating wealth and deriving wealth. Now, the reason this is important is because one of those two things can move and the other cannot across national borders. Labor, if you lose your job here in the United States because a company has decided to move its production facilities to Mexico, you can't move to Mexico and say, okay, I'll continue to work for this company in Mexico. But the corporation can. There are very real differences in the laws, in the way that labor is treated under the law and the way that capital and corporate interests are treated under the law. And this disparity was hugely amplified by NAFTA, by Bill Clinton signing NAFTA and the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trades, GATT, which led to the creation of the World Trade Organization. And so we have this situation where these jobs are moving offshore, and I'm going to get into the details of this in just a second. These jobs are moving offshore, and what is happening to the wealth that is created by those jobs, the wealth that goes to the workers, and the wealth that goes to the companies? What is happening to it, and what does it mean for the future of democracy? Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
We're told that the beauty of America's political system is that we, the people, have the right to vote. Yes, but do we have the right to have our votes properly counted? In the old days, corrupt political bosses would sometimes stuff the ballot box or even steal the box. In today's modern computerized age, however, such thievery can be done by sophisticated software manipulation without anyone even touching the ballot boxes. Indeed, most states no longer have ballot boxes at all, having replaced them with touchscreen technology that, they promise, digitally records our votes in cyberspace. Swell. Except, how do we know that our digital votes on these computers actually are recorded in real space? There's growing evidence that not only can these machines be manipulated by hackers or unscrupulous sellers of the machines, but that such corruption of our votes already is taking place. In Georgia, for example, 22,000 touchscreen machines had to get emergency fixes in 2002 because a Rob Georgia software bug was found on the seller's site. The computer providers, however, refused to let election officials examine their computer codes, claiming that the codes are proprietary trade secrets. Trust us, they say. No, I say. One reason we shouldn't trust them is that the two largest sellers of the machines also happen to be major campaign donors to George Bush's Republican Party. In Ohio, for example, the CEO of Diebold, a major seller, sent out a fundraising letter asking for $10,000 donations to Bush's re-election bid just one day prior to getting his touchscreen computers approved for use in Ohio. This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop electronic vote theft, support H.R. 2239, requiring a paper audit of all electronic votes. For info, call Representative Rush Holt, 202-225-5801.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is the radical. I say this. We are the radical middle. What does that mean? The radical middle. Most Americans don't identify themselves as right or left. They're not ideologues or ideologues or whatever you want to call it. They're looking for what's practical. They're grounded in the notions of democracy, the egalitarian ideals on which this country was founded. That is, and they're getting increasingly radicalized. They're saying, you know, this is crazy. The way the corporations are taking over government, the way that the lobbyists are roaming the hall. You know, what, 6 to 10 lobbyists for every member of Congress? The George Bush is raising $200 million, a record, to carpet bomb Americans with advertising for this 2004 election so that he can induce amnesia about the consequences of his policies on us and the rest of the world. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. And the radical middle is waking up. So welcome to the radical middle. 1,200 layoffs strike at an industrial city's heart. This is from the New York Times. I believe it was Monday's paper. It might be last Friday's. The name of a cooling company has been inseparable from this frost belt. This is an article by Michael Luo and Lydia Polgreen. The name of a cooling company has been inseparable from this frost belt city since the Depression, when city leaders scraped together $250,000 in tax incentives. And that was back when $250,000 was real money, friends. To lure the inventor of the air conditioner, Willis H. Carrier, and his business from Newark. So Carrier moved to Syracuse, New York. They built the home arena for the Syracuse University Orange Men called Carrier Dome. And on Monday, this must have been Monday's paper, on Monday, the company confirmed the rumors. They are closing two manufacturing plants at its East Syracuse site, laying off 1,200 workers and moving those operations to Asia and the South. Carrier will no longer make any products, the New York Times says, in Syracuse. The Times goes on to say, as it has across the nation, manufacturing has receded here in the Syracuse area, where one of every five factory jobs have been lost since 2000. One in every five.
Isn't that incredible? Carrier, the world's largest manufacturer of heating and cooling systems and equipment. Carrier was bought in 1979. Remember the flurry, this whole... All these mergers and acquisitions and all this stuff, you know, Michael Milken, who was meeting with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Ken Lay in Los Angeles on May 17th of 2001. Michael Milken making all that money with all these M&As, you know, mergers and acquisitions. Carrier was bought during that era, 1979, by the United Technologies Corporation. This is a company that makes Chubb security systems, Pratt & Whitney jet engines, Otis elevators. Many workers, says the New York Times, trace the end of the family atmosphere to that year when Carrier's world headquarters moved from Syracuse to Farmington, Connecticut. The devastation of a community. I'm going to come back to this. Just real quickly before our break here, though, I want to share with you our conservative alert. Very quickly, our conservative alert from the Republican National Committee. New report discloses this in their email that's sent out to millions of people. New report discloses dozens of weapons of mass destruction program activities in Iraq. A new report shows that Saddam Hussein had, quote, dozens of WMD-related program activities and significant amounts of equipment that Iraq concealed from the United States during the inspections that began in late 2002. This from GeorgeWBushDow.com. This from the Republicans sending out in a visit to Iowa. In addition to this, Vice President Cheney told supporters that the economy is improving. Things are getting better. Oh, boy. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Oil put the power in America's economy and the glitz in our lifestyles, but an author says the days of petroleum prosperity are nearing an end. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. We've been burning petroleum like a fool with a family inheritance. Richard Heinberg says the party's over, and that's the title of his new book about oil.
It took nature tens of millions of years to make fossil fuels, to cook them slowly under the Earth's crust, and we're burning them in an extraordinarily short period of time, an eye blink of geological time.
Heinberg says half of North America's oil has been burned in his 52-year lifetime, and he says the next few generations will see the rest of it disappear.
By the time a child born today is in their 50s or 60s or 70s, there will be virtually no significant oil being produced on the planet.
Heinberg says oil production always follows a bell-shaped curve. The pattern is the same for individual oil fields, entire countries, and the world as a whole. U.S. production peaked in 1970 and has fallen past the production rate of the late 1940s. Heinberg says other oil producers are following the same curve.
Of the 44 significant oil-producing countries in the world, 24 of them have gone through that same process. We just saw this with the North Sea oil production over the last two or three years, first Norway and then Great Britain, going over the top so that now they're producing less oil than they were 4 years ago. And it looks as though that's going to continue with depletion rates of 2, 3, 4% per year.
Heinberg says we haven't planned for the end of oil and we're in for some unpleasant changes in the not-too-distant future. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Be happy in every life. We have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy.
Oh, what good advice. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network here in the Democracy Zone, where we take our talking points from Jefferson and Madison instead of right-wing think tanks and the Republican National Committee. You know, I was sharing with you, we had this conservative alert just before the top of the hour, or the bottom of the hour here, just a few minutes ago. It's 26 minutes before the hour right now. And just before the news, I was sharing with the conservative alert, and part of it was this thing about Dick Cheney. In a visit to Iowa, Vice President Cheney told supporters that due to the president's bold actions, remember Newt Gingrich's list of adjectives to apply to conservatives? You're supposed to use words like pathetic when describing liberals and words like bold when describing conservatives. This from the GeorgeWBush.com mass mailing that went out. This is the same bunch that sent out a mailing last week saying that, actually, that was from Ed Gillespie, the former Enron lobbyist, now chairman of the Republican National Committee, saying that the Democrats were raising so much more money than George W. Bush that he needed a contribution immediately. Amazing. Anyhow, Vice President Cheney tells supporters progress has been made. In a visit to Iowa, Vice President Cheney told supporters that due to the president's bold actions, the economy is showing solid signs of improvement. In light of a recession inherited from the former administration and followed by economically damaging terrorist attacks. See, this is the spin. First of all, the economy was not significantly going south until George Bush became president, and it really went into the tank. You go back and look at the graphs. Yeah, it was starting to get soft in 2000. And, in fact, the Republicans were trying to talk it down. If you'll recall, they kept saying, oh, the economy is going to fall apart. It's going to get bad. It's going to get bad. And, of course, that kind of talk tends to generate self-fulfilling prophecies. But then George W. gets in, and the first thing he does in 2001 is he passes this huge tax cut for the rich. And what happens? The economy goes totally in the tank. He didn't inherit a recession. He created one. And then the economically damaging terrorist attacks. Well, yeah, the terrorist attacks did do some harm, but they also actually generated an enormous amount of economic activity. Keep in mind, gross domestic product is the sum of all the money spent. Look at all the money that got spent on new airport screeners, on reconstruction over at the Pentagon. Now, they haven't rebuilt the World Trade Center, certainly, but you know, business is back. Business is going on. There was a shutdown there for a while. But when you go back and you look at the numbers, I don't have them right here in front of me, but I've shared these analyses with you before. And the impact of 9/11 on our economy was really relatively minor. compared to all the various kind of things that happened. It was nothing, for example, compared to the Arab oil embargo back in 72 or 73. It was virtually irrelevant compared to the damage done by these so-called Bush tax cuts. I say so-called tax cuts because they weren't. These are not tax cuts. These are transfers of wealth in the finest tradition of Karl Marx and Joe Stalin, where George Bush is taking trillions of dollars of wealth from you and me and our children, borrowing it in our name from foreigners, and giving that wealth to extremely wealthy Republican potential campaign donors. That's the bottom line. This was not a tax cut. I'm sorry, it was not a tax cut. Because as long as the government is not level funded, as long as taxes are not, you can only cut taxes when the taxes are generating enough to pay for the cost of government. Otherwise, you're borrowing. You're shifting the tax burden. Sure, yeah, okay. You know, you want to play semantic games. You want to play games with words, but it's this is a transfer of wealth. George W. Bush as Karl Marx, transferring wealth from our children, trillions of dollars of wealth from our children, and from you and me, because we have to start paying the interest today. Transferring that wealth to the top 1% of Americans, those who are most likely to show up at his fundraising dinners, where he routinely raises $1 million a pop. Every night he shows up someplace, walks away with $1 million. This was a transfer of wealth from us to them. Very simple. Very straightforward. So anyhow, back to this thing about the economy. Here we have blue-collar jobs. Here's another one. This is a Reuters story from October 4th about Maytag Corporation. 380 people at Maytag are the first of 1,600 workers to be laid off between now and the end of 2004. Why? Because Maytag is moving its factory to Mexico. This is part of the loss of the 2.5 million manufacturing jobs since George Bush took over this administration, this nation. And additionally, according to this AP story, for every Maytag worker laid off, nearly three other jobs will disappear as the loss of so many high-paying jobs ripples through the economy, making total job losses of 4,166. And it's not just Maytag. In Wichita, Kansas, some 11,000 aerospace workers have lost their jobs since 2001 as employers outsourced both parts supply and assembly overseas. 11,000 direct jobs lost. That's 30, 40, 50,000 total jobs lost, because those people who were making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $70,000 a year, making good union wages, good salaries, wages or good middle management salaries, basically the blue collar and the unionized blue collar workers and white collar workers being moved offshore overseas, and as a result, all kinds of other jobs get lost. It hollows out the core of an economy. They tell the story just by way of example of Carolyn Summers, a 41-year-old mother of two who had lost her job at Boeing. She says, "I wish the government would really see what it is doing to the American people. We built this country, and I feel that they're turning it into a ghost town," she said. You got it. That's absolutely right, Carolyn. That's absolutely right. They are eviscerating. They are hollowing out the core of the United States of America, so that wealth can be created at the labor level offshore. Yes, we are raising the standard of living of some other nations. Although, oddly, the way it works out, a lot of these nations are actually increasing, and China is becoming less poor. Mexico has seen actually poverty increase. because of the way that our factories have been set up and how the disequilibrium that it throws into the system. A single mother, Carolyn Summers, most regrets the impact of the loss of her $18.67 an hour job has had on her 21-year-old daughter, who was away at college studying nursing when the pink slip came. Carolyn now works at Walmart. Oh, her daughter now works at Walmart to pay for her tuition to a local community college. And Walmart, of course, pays just right around, in most cases, just slightly below the American poverty level. We're talking about the working poor. We're talking about the loss of the middle class in America. So what happens when these jobs go overseas? Well, here we have from Monday's Wall Street Journal, this article. It's the change of venue column. Colombian killings land U.S. company in American court. Mining concern faces suit over right-wing attacks. One evening in March of 2001, a bus carrying Valmore Locarno and Victor Orcasita home from work at a Drummond Company coal mine in La Loma, Colombia, was stopped by members of the right-wing paramilitary group. The journal goes on to say the fighters called out for the pair, leaders of a union at the mine, and accused them of, quote, having a problem with Drummond, end quote, eyewitnesses said. The journal goes on to say Mr. Locarno, 38 years old, was shot immediately. Mr. Orcasita, 37, was found later by the side of the road, a bullet in his head and his teeth knocked out. 7 months later, their successor at the union, Gustavo Soler, 36, was pulled off a public bus by paramilitary members who sought him out by name, according to both the union and the company. Farmers found his corpse 2 days later. He had been shot twice in the head. So we outsource our jobs. Now, some of these folks are fighting back. It's interesting. There's been a civil lawsuit filed against Drummond, this Birmingham, Alabama company that operates this mine in Colombia, under the Alien Tort Claims Act, ATCA, 1789 law. And here, it's interesting, the list here, the journal documents this. Unocal is being sued because in the United States, Unocal, a California oil company, because in Burma, also known as Myanmar, or Myanmar, the plaintiffs are the villagers, because according to the Wall Street Journal, that oil company is liable for forced labor, rape, and torture of villagers by the Myanmar military. Coca-Cola is being sued in the United States by trade union leaders in Colombia because, according to the Wall Street Journal, that beverage company, corporation, is liable for murders and torture of unionists by paramilitaries. In Guatemala, former unionists of Fresh Del Monte Produce are suing under the Alien Tort Claims Act here in the United States. These are American companies being sued because of their behavior overseas. Because, according to the Wall Street Journal, Del Monte, that food company is liable for torture of unionists by Guatemalan vigilantes. ExxonMobil. Indonesian villagers are suing ExxonMobil under the Alien Torts Claims Act in the United States because they say that oil company is liable for brutality against villagers by security forces. And Chevron is being sued in the United States under the Alien Tort Claims Act by Nigerian communities because, according to the Wall Street Journal, that oil company is liable for violence against local communities by police. So perhaps there's a price to pay. But here's another story from the Wall Street Journal from Monday's paper. No, this is the New York Times, I'm sorry. This would be last Friday's New York Times. Chinese girls' toil brings pain, not riches. It's the story of Ma Pinghua, 16. She and her friend Wai Kui also 16, and also a Chinese, I'm reading from the New York Times story here, and also the story by Joseph Kahn, and also a Chinese farm girl, barely out of junior high school, had been lured here, this to a factory in Anshan, China, out of junior high school, had been lured here by a South Korean boss who said he was prepared to pay $120 a month, a princely sum for unskilled peasants to make false eyelashes. These are false eyelashes that sell, by the way, in American stores for less than a dollar. So these two girls left home, 16 years old, to go to work to make false eyelashes, thinking they were going to make $120 a month, which is like a pile of money. In U.S. currency, well, it's been, the last time I was in China was in 1986, so I don't know the exchange rates right now, but my guess would be that $120 a month in Chinese, it would provide you with a reasonable bottom of the middle class standard of living. You know, maybe the equivalent of $30,000 a year here in the United States. It's just a guess, but it was, well, to quote the New York Times, it was a princely sum for unskilled laborers. 2 months later, however, well, not 2 months later. As soon as they got there, they discovered they'd been scammed. They were put in this building that used to be a mental hospital. The doors and windows were locked. They were not allowed to leave, so they decided to escape. After 2 months of essentially slave labor, what the New York Times calls exhausted by eye straining and wrist wrenching work and too poor to pay the exit fee the bosses demanded of anyone who wanted out, they decided to escape. But that was not easy. The metal doors of their third floor factory were kept locked, and its windows, all but one, were enclosed in iron cages. Even rudimentary workers' rights, according to the New York Times, lag far behind job creation and profits in China's surging economy. See, as soon as they had showed up in Anshan at the factory, this from the New York Times, their problems began. They were asked to sign a contract that offered monthly pay far below the advertised level, initially just $24, minus a $13 charge for room and board. This is like, you know, working for the factory store. Remember those songs? The contract also demanded that they pay the boss $58 if they left before, and $2,400 if they defected to a rival eyelash manufacturer. So what these two girls did is they tied bed sheets together and they tried to jump out of a window, and both of them ended up breaking their legs and their spines. They're back home recuperating. They're having to pay for their own medical cost. The company's talking about suing them. I mean, this is the world that we are creating. And that's the blue-collar end of it. Now the white-collar end of it. Today's New York Times. As it tries to cut costs, Wall Street looks to India. J.P. Morgan, Lehman Brothers, and Morgan Stanley are all three of these investment banking firms in New York City, are shipping jobs now over to India. It's the hollowing out of America, friends. It's the hollowing out. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on the True People's Radio.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
When Brian and Amy decided to sell their home, someone was there to make sure that things went smoothly. Someone was there to help them see it through a buyer's eyes. Someone was there to help price it, show it, close it. And when Brian and Amy found the house they wanted to buy, someone else helped them get through that process just as smoothly.
Congratulations, we did it.
If you're thinking about selling your home, work with someone who works with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life. Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Oh, hon, it's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide.
Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples.
Aw.
Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude,
and
there's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. An email here from Jamie. Jamie has a great idea. He was listening to the program and heard the Brett Bercy segment. Our friend down in South Carolina who was arrested outside a Bush campaign speech. Jamie says, I have an idea for getting close to Bush with protest signs. Make a sign that says, impeach Bush, or something of that nature. One word above the other. And then have a strip of paper that is the same color as the sign's background. On this strip of paper, you print something like re-elect. Lightly stick re-elect over impeach. Carry this sign to the Bush event, and after you are safely surrounded by pro-Bush hordes, remove the re-elect portion of the sign and hold it up.
We love Bush. We love Bush. We love Bush.
Impeach Bush.
Huh? You didn't know I'm going to say that, did you?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense. From the radical middle, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. All these companies now in New York. Goldman Sachs planning to establish an Indian unit with 250 employees. Other skeptical firms, however, are being drawn in, according to the New York Times today. Although we are not big fans of business profit outsourcing, says Peter Nagg, vice president of Lehman. Lehman has cautiously started a few pilot programs in Bombay for research-related tasks like data cleansing and creating presentations. And on it goes, folks, on it goes. This is something that an administration could and should do something about. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. The last couple minutes of the program here in this hour, Pablo in San Francisco has some thoughts on what's up in the world. Pablo, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
How you doing, Tom?
I am great, but I'll get better. Always great to hear from you. What's up, Pablo?
Actually, I'm in Santa Fe, not San Francisco.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
But what you were talking about earlier, maybe it might have been last hour, about labor and capital. And a present-day example of that would be Enron. And they I doubt if they actually did any production of electricity. Weren't they primarily just sort of a speculative middleman kind of corporation?
Yeah, they actually lobbied and got the George Bush Sr. administration in his last months in office after he had lost the election as he was leaving to make administrative rule changes and also to sign a few small pieces of legislation that basically deregulated the electricity industry so that they could get in as middlemen brokers and turn electricity into a commodity that could be bought and sold on a stock exchange, and they became the stock exchange. That's how it worked.
Yeah, and then, what was it, a little over 2 years ago, apparently Arnold Schwarzenegger met with the...
With Ken Lay.
Yeah, with Ken Lay, and it's surprising how little play in the press that got, other than the alternative press or media. I don't know if I've really heard that mentioned on CNN or...
I think the mainstream media just hasn't had a chance or hasn't had the time to authenticate the story. I mean, that's one of the problems with a 30-day election cycle and a story coming out a week beforehand. But it's a real issue, and it's not going to go away. Pablo, thanks for bringing it up. The music, we're up against the end of the hour here. I appreciate your call, though. This is Tom Hartman. It's time for our government to get involved in defending we the people, coming back to what's best for America. And ultimately, that will be what's best for the world. And I'll explain in the next hour how that works. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the
home. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Californians banished Governor Gray Davis just 11 months into his second term and elected Arnold Schwarzenegger to replace him Tuesday in one of the most extraordinarily political melodramas in the nation's history. Voters traded a career Democratic politician who became one of the state's most despised chief executives for a moderate Republican movie star who had never before run for office. Davis became the first California governor and only the second nationwide to be recalled. Schwarzenegger will take office as soon as the election results are certified by the state, which could take 5 to 6 weeks. Facing stiff opposition at the UN Security Council to its plan for the future government of Iraq, the Bush administration has pulled back from seeking a quick vote endorsing the proposal and may shelve it altogether, administration officials said on Tuesday. 2 weeks after President Bush appealed at the UN for help in securing and reconstructing Iraq, top aides will soon decide whether it's worth the effort to get a United Nations endorsement. Originally, the administration said UN approval of American plans would encourage other countries to contribute money or troops. Now the tone has shifted to one of living without such help if necessary. The U.S. military has been unable to locate a large number of shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles that were part of Saddam Hussein's arsenal, compounding security risks for airports and airlines in Iraq and around the world. The lack of accounting for the missiles is the primary reason occupation authorities have not yet reopened Baghdad International Airport to commercial traffic. The terminal has been rebuilt and the runways repaired, and Australian soldiers are running the air traffic control system. But according to senior officials, portable missiles were fired at incoming planes several times in recent weeks. Most of these incidents have not been reported to the public. The on-again, off-again, no-call list is now on again. A federal appeals court let the Federal Trade Commission enforce its Do Not Call program against telemarketers yesterday. The appeals court ruling frees the commission to fine telemarketers up to $11,000 for each violation. The no-call list has registered more than 51 million phone numbers. More after this.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
A British scientist has calculated the optimum thickness for a slice of cheese to make the perfect cheese sandwich. In a bite-sized cheese sandwich, a slice of cheddar needs to be at least 2.8 millimeters thick. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
We're told that the beauty of America's political system is that we, the people, have the right to vote. Yes, but do we have the right to have our votes properly counted? In the old days, corrupt political bosses would sometimes stuff the ballot box or even steal the box. In today's modern computerized age, however, such thievery can be done by sophisticated software manipulation without anyone even touching the ballot boxes. Indeed, most states no longer have ballot boxes at all, having replaced them with touchscreen technology that, they promise, digitally records our votes in cyberspace. Swell. Except, how do we know that our digital votes on these computers actually are recorded in real space? There's growing evidence that not only can these machines be manipulated by hackers or unscrupulous sellers of the machines, but that such corruption of our votes already is taking place. In Georgia, for example, 22,000 touchscreen machines had to get emergency fixes in 2002 because a Rob Georgia software bug was found on the seller's site. The computer providers, however, refused to let election officials examine their computer codes, claiming that the codes are proprietary trade secrets. Trust us, they say. No, I say. One reason we shouldn't trust them is that the two largest sellers of the machines also happen to be major campaign donors to George Bush's Republican Party. In Ohio, for example, the CEO of Diebold, a major seller, sent out a fundraising letter asking for $10,000 donations to Bush's reelection bid just one day prior to getting his touchscreen computers approved for use in Ohio. This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop electronic vote theft, support H.R. 2239, requiring a paper audit of all electronic votes. For info, call Representative Rush Holt, 202-225-5801.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do? Being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded? This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live on terrestrial radio stations, also streaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite system, channel 145, stream 145, and also broadcasting live on the Internet from radiopower.org, live365.com, this network's website, ieamericaradio.com, and with archives at whiterosesociety.org. You can find all of that off our website at tomhartman.com, where you can also find a link to the chat room that we have running during the program with one of the more lively and intelligent conversations on all of the Internet. You think I'm exaggerating? Check it out. Fascinating stuff. Good folks. I like that Springtime for Hitler little clip there in the last bit. I had the Schwarzenegger piece coming up, and I just dropped into the chat room, and I said, does anybody know where I can find this thing on the Internet? Boom! Within 3 or 4 minutes, one of the folks on there, Brainshrub, had found it on the Internet, had posted it on a website for me. I downloaded the thing, and I was playing it. It's remarkable. Interactive radio. Who would have thought? Back when I started in radio in 1968, I never would have imagined that my listeners would actually be talking to me while I'm on the air via another media. It's just incredible. Anyhow, I want to, in this hour, get into this question. Are we heading for inflation or deflation, and what will that mean to you and me? What is the status? What is the nature of this? And I want to just wrap up this thing that we were talking about in the last hour. The point that I was making in the last hour was that when things are made, when you've got production processes, industrial production, manufacturing, or, arguably even service processes, because something is made an intellectual property. You have people who are doing stock analysis, for example. They are producing a product. It's an intellectual product, but you could say it's printed on paper. It's a physical product as well. Sometimes it's not, but nonetheless, they're producing something. And there's two kinds of wealth that are created. One kind of wealth that is created is the profit that is generated by that process. That is, by creating that product and ultimately bringing it to the marketplace and selling it at a profit. There's the profit from that. That's one kind of wealth that's created. The other kind of the wealth that is created is the wealth that is created by those who add labor into the process and are paid for it. And they then take their income, those laborers, they take their income into their local community and spend it. So you have wealth being created at the point, at the site where the product is being made by virtue of labor spending their income. And you have wealth being created by the corporation making a profit on the process. When our jobs are exported overseas, whether it's Goldman Sachs moving security analysts over to India or whether it's an eyelash manufacturer building a factory in China or, Maytag or Carrier moving things to Asia, when we move jobs overseas, the corporations are still making the profit. This is the thing that the Republicans all talk about. Oh, this is wonderful. Corporations are still making money. Their stock prices are going up. It must be a good thing, because they're only looking at that part of the creation of wealth equation that affects or influences those people who make their living off stock dividends, which are now taxed at 15% instead of the higher taxes that all the anybody who's working has to pay. So basically, the conservatives, the cons, are just looking at, including the con economists like Alan Greenspan, they're only looking at the consequences of the creation of wealth for those who control the means of production, that is, to use the old Marxist phrase, to those who control the businesses. And a business can make a profit here in the United States. If it can make more of a profit over in China, then it should move over to China and make that profit there, because it'll make more money there. And then the extreme wealth, the extreme wealthy people who own that business
We'll have more money to spend here locally, and that'll trickle down into the economy. This is trickle-down economics. This is the core of Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr.'s economic theory, what George Bush Sr. in a moment of candor called voodoo economics, and George Bush Jr.'s Shrubs economic theory. This is the core of their economic theory. And it completely overlooks the fact that there is a secondary source of wealth generation, and that is what workers are paid. People are working, they get a paycheck. They take that paycheck into their local community, they buy things. Other people provide services to them. There are for every job that is lost, every good-paying, you know, a union-wage job that is lost in a community in America, typically four other jobs are lost from people who are providing goods or services to that person who lost that first job. So by moving our jobs overseas, we are enhancing the ability of wealth creation on the part of corporations, multinational corporations, and those who own stock in them. And this is the point where the right-wing con talk show hosts go, oh, but most Americans own stock in corporations. Everybody's a stockholder. Well, yeah, it is true that a lot of Americans have a little bit of money in pension funds or in retirement funds that are held as stocks. And those funds are already tax-free, so the tax break for the people, the real serious stockholders, was irrelevant to them. But the vast majority of the benefit of stock holding goes to a very small slice of America, and we all know it. And those are the people who benefit when corporations move overseas. And the people who lose, up until the last 10 or 15 years, had been primarily the blue-collar workers. We'd seen the evisceration of unions, spilling their guts, cutting them open of the unions, and unionized jobs in America. It's interesting, on Sunday night, I was at the A. Philip Randolph Association 27th Annual Dinner in Detroit, a remarkable organization, and a remarkable keynote address. The president of the Michigan AFL-CIO had invited me to attend, and it was a real honor to be there. And I sat with some folks who were union organizers, and one of them was saying, you know, it's really actually harder now to organize unions, organize labor, than it was when the economy was good under Bill Clinton. Because there's a risk that you take when you are organizing. Like, you know, we might upset the employer and they'll leave or they'll fire us. And they're doing that. I mean, they're really playing hardball now against unions. And it used to be, you know, there's lots of jobs. If I lose this job, I can get another one. Now there's not a lot of jobs. People are more frightened. You would think at this time when we need unions more than ever, corporations can organize. They organize into chambers of commerce. They organize into trade associations. They organize into lobbying groups. They organize into agglomerated, you know, AOL, Time Warner, Warner Brothers, you know, 400 different brand names all under one umbrella. That's an organizing principle to further their goals, to enhance their ability to function and their profits. Why can't labor do this? Well, they can, in some states, make it very difficult. But it's getting harder and harder. And I find it absolutely bizarre when these cons come on the radio and they talk about how the unions, these special interest groups, the unions. Arnold Schwarzenegger was doing it. I'm not going to take money from the unions. They're a special interest group. As if the Chamber of Commerce isn't. As if a corporation that owns a bunch of other companies isn't. As if a company that lobbies in Washington, D.C. and in Sacramento isn't? Come on. So anyhow, my point is that the WTO NAFTA GATT laws that got set up basically said it's okay for corporate owners to roam the world and strip mine cheap labor wherever they want. But it's not okay for labor to do that. There are no labor protections or minimal labor protections in these treaties and agreements. And this is why I think, you know, Howard Dean and many of the other Dean started it, and he got blasted by Joe Lieberman for it, as you'll recall during the last debates. But many of the Democratic candidates now are saying the same thing. Was so right on in saying, hey, until we have protection, until there's protection of labor, and that these trade treaties should be scrapped. I mean, they have to be changed. Here, Franklin Roosevelt had something to say about this back in July of 1936. This is just one of my absolute favorite clips of all time. FDR.
These economic royalists complain that we seek to overthrow the institutions of America. What they really complain of is that we seek to take away their power.
Yeah.
Our allegiance to American institutions requires the overthrow of this kind of power.
This is after a long speech. If we had more time and if we were doing a whole show on it, I would share with you all the pieces of it, of Roosevelt talking about the economic royalists and the kind of power that they had. Here.
They seek to hide behind the flag and the Constitution.
Yeah, and they do today also. The same as in 1936.
But in their blindness, they forget what the flag and the Constitution stand for.
Amen. Amen. And then he gives a little explanation here.
Now, as always, for over a century and a half, the flag, the Constitution, stand against a dictatorship by mob rule and the overprivileged alike.
And the overprivileged alike. Amen. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con in conservatives. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A battery, or even a new set of wiper blades, you'll find what you need at Napa. This is the good stuff. While you're there, pick up a Napa camouflage hat for only $3.99. So come to Napa and get whatever you need for your car and pick up your special edition camouflage hat today. Get the good stuff. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Dermarest, the psoriasis solution, asks,
what's complete freedom? For me, it's an open road with the top down. It's my bare arms getting warmed by the sun. It's my bare arms without a trace of psoriasis.
Complete freedom, brought to you by the complete relief of Dermarest psoriasis. Unlike brands which only relieve itching and inflammation, Dermarest psoriasis also removes the embarrassing scales, allowing healthy skin to grow.
Healthy skin? That's complete freedom.
Dermarest, the psoriasis solution.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good. You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples.
Aww.
Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years
I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You
why
hate
why
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Straight to the heart of truth, this is Tom Hartman. In the midst of the vast radical middle conspiracy, take no imitations. This is the IE America Radio Network. And we are on the air live, coast to coast, border to border. Are we heading for inflation or deflation? Are we witnessing the final conservative conquest in America and around the world of liberal democracy and the middle class? One of the folks in the chat room just pointed out to me an interesting thing in The Guardian today, a survey that was done here in the United States by the Gallup organization, finding that the majority of Americans think that mainstream news is too conservative. It's incredible. These guys, the cons have been playing the refs. I mean, this is a phrase that was put forward by one of the Republican, I forget which one it was, one of the Republican operatives, one of the campaign guys back during the first Reagan-Bush administration, said, we need to play the refs. We need to convince the press, you know, jump down their throats. And they got this whole media watchdog groups and all this stuff. And they have been bleating so loudly and screaming and yelling and whining about conservative bias in the media that people are actually starting to believe it after this myth has been so well refuted. But the big lie is a powerful technique, as our friend Adolf taught us. If you lie enough, say the same thing over and over. Enough lies, enough times, people will begin to believe you. As we see, you know, look at how many people think that Saddam was behind 9/11. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. If you'd like to be on the program, if you have some thoughts about this, Mike in Washington, D.C. is on the line. Mike, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
I am great. How about you?
Not surprised, but dejected nonetheless.
Are you talking about California?
Yeah. I'm glad that you played the new state song for California.
Well, in fact, let's hear it again. Here's the official theme song of the Arnold Schwarzenegger campaign. Yes, indeed, folks. And California.
Deutschland is happy and gay.
Yes, pardon me, Mike. Okay, you were saying?
No problem. It's, like I said, unfortunately, I wasn't surprised, but I am kind of dejected. Part of the problem, in my estimation, is the same thing that adheres to Wesley Clark. Everybody, he's got great name recognition. The fact that he's an unindicted war criminal is something else, and his own personal background is pretty unsavory if you look into it. And the same thing with Arnold. Everybody knows the Terminator. Plenty of name recognition, but what in God's name has he said? What does he stand for? Does anybody know? Does anybody care?
Yeah. Well, it's a commentary on the power of celebrity in America. And I think that is a commentary on the breakdown of community in America. We no longer know our neighbors. We are addicted to this electronic drug called television.
Exactly. And like I said, unfortunately, it's also a commentary on the, if you will, on the great unwashed masses. I'm sorry, we have gotten stupider. I mean,
I don't think so, Mike. Let me challenge that. I don't think that we've gotten stupider. I think this has always been the case. It has, what Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people all the time, you can fool all the people some of the time. Or as George W. Bush said, you can fool all the people, you can fool some of the people all the time, and those are the ones we need to concentrate on. That
right.
was the verbatim quote from George W. Bush.
But it's
been around forever, this problem.
Right, but here's where I'm coming from, is most people's reality is the television. In earlier times, one of the reasons why people were getting
we're about out of time here, Mike.
Okay, why people got active and got out on the street was because they were feeling what was going on. They were seeing what was happening.
Well, and I think that we're on the edge of that again. Look at how many people got out in protest of the war in Iraq. Look at how many people are showing up, even though they're being herded into free speech zones whenever George Bush goes out to speak. So I think things are changing. Springtime for Hitler.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. It's week two of a strike of Chicago's trash collectors, and only the city's rat population is happy. Uncollected trash began piling up outside apartment homes and businesses September 30th as waste haulers with the city's private trash collection agencies went on strike. Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley has vowed to sue the Chicago Area Refuse Haulers Association, the Teamsters Union, or possibly both, over the dispute. Yesterday, a federal mediator joined talks after trash collectors overwhelmingly rejected management's latest contract offer.
Bechtel Corporation, a construction contractor with more than $600 million worth of building contracts in Iraq, is being sued by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission for discriminating against an Iraqi-American worker. The man, originally from Michigan, was working at a Bechtel facility in New Jersey 2 years ago during the terrorist attacks on New York and Washington, D.C. After those incidents, the man was constantly harassed by other Bechtel workers and was even beaten up a few times. The EEOC says the company did nothing to stop it, instead firing the man after he complained.
Former Washington, D.C. Teachers Union Chief Barbara Bullock pled guilty yesterday in a federal court to charges of mail fraud and conspiracy. During her 8-year tenure, Bullock used her union's coffers as a personal piggy bank, spending as much as $2.5 million of dues money on luxury items, furniture, and cosmetics. She faces up to 10 years in prison and $500,000 in fines.
Good news for 2,600 current and former employees of Sodexo Marriott Services. On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court dismissed Sodexo Marriott's challenge to their class action lawsuit. The workers, who are all non-white, claim rampant racial discrimination in the housekeeping and food service giant's promotion practices.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You are listening to, you are taking in the pill that will help you escape the matrix. You chose the right color, the right pill. Yes, indeed. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Interesting news here. This hour, we're in the money. This is the fat cat, you know, seizing Iraq. And seizing 10% of the world's oil, people say, well, why doesn't America just kind of give up control of Iraq and let everybody bring in their peacekeepers and we can stop having our guys come home in body bags? And, well, the reason is because we don't want to let go of the oil. It's real simple. I mean, the oil companies were meeting with Dick Cheney in 2001 before 9/11 planning this thing, as we now know from the lawsuit from Judicial Watch. So here now, but America is starting to say, hey, wait a minute, we're really tired of our people getting maimed and killed, but the fat cats have figured out a way around it, so here's our...
Come on now, everybody sing!
We're in the money. Yeah, our We're in the Money alert here. Well, our We're in the Money alert here for the day is the new campaign facing growing doubts at home about the wisdom of invading Iraq. The United States President George Bush on Wednesday, I believe that's today, will launch, this is a Reuters story dated today, will launch a campaign to defend the attack and cite progress being made even as U.S. troops face almost daily attacks. The attempt to gain control of the Iraqi debate comes as George Bush's job approval ratings have been falling and the White House has been on the defensive over a leak investigation and failure to find weapons of mass destruction. Yes, indeed, folks, they are going to get back on top. They're going to change public opinion. We got to change public opinion. We got to get people thinking, hey, everything is just fine. Yes, indeed. Yeah, it's just, there you go, it's just rolling along, folks. Yes, indeed, thanks to Warner Brothers, I think, for that. Anyhow, your thoughts on this, 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Mike, let's see, Mike in D.C., we spoke with him. It's Hector in Arizona's up next. Hector, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Hey, Hector. Yeah, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up?
Well, I'm sad because Arizona, some hospital let someone say they had custody of myself, and apparently it's supposed to be unhappenable, impossible to happen, in other words, and I'm stuck here in limbo because apparently I'm subject to the shame, ridicule, and humiliation as to and by the community as a seriously mentally ill person off of this medication as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would encourage you, Hector, go back. Well, I don't want to encourage, you know, I'm not your doctor, but generally when people are not taking
the doctor, you know.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for calling and sharing that with us, Hector. I appreciate that. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, and yeah, I have, you know, I have friends who have to take medication to control their brains. It happens from time to time, and I encourage people to listen to their doctors. As much as I write books about psychiatry and psychology in which I pick on Ritalin and things like that, there are some conditions that are really in need of help. And one of the biggest problems is that we don't have a system where people can get help. This is a very real problem in the United States. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. That's 1-800-825-5937. Skylar in Nashville's on the line. Welcome to the program, Skylar. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hey.
I just wanted to call because I was keeping up with the California recall selection. And what happened yesterday was reminiscent of the 2000 election in Florida. It was...
How so?
Well, in my estimation, it was utterly and totally rigged. I got on the Internet, and I was looking at the list of who's controlling the voting in the various counties, and it's almost all Diebold, Sequoia, ES&S rather.
Yeah, I understand that, but there's also there was an aggressive campaign by the news organizations to have exit polls because everybody wanted to be able to call the election at 11 p.m. Eastern time, you know, before the East Coast had gone to bed. And it appears from what I'm seeing, I may be wrong, and time will tell, you know, both of us, but it appears that the exit polls are pretty much agreeing with the results from the electronic machine. So I'm not sure that these were hacked the way that I suspect they might have been hacked in the state of Georgia when Max Cleland, in my opinion, won that election, and Saxby Chambliss, the draft dodger who ran on the campaign that Cleland wasn't sufficiently patriotic, ended up becoming the United States Senator from Georgia.
Right, well, I don't know. Actually, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think that what happened in California might have been equal to or even worse than that, because California is the majority of people there are Democrats, and the people of California knew that California's economy was taking a dive, just like all 50 states were taking a dive, and I think pretty much anyone knows that the rolling blackouts and the way the utilities just fleeced the people of California is not Gray Davis's fault. In fact, he fought against it, and he got blamed.
That was the thing that amazed me, was that Gray Davis didn't turn that into an election issue. I mean, it's so easily I am just amazed that, at least from what I'm seeing here. In fact, Skylar, thanks for your call. I appreciate your sharing your comments, I don't think that these machines gave us false results in this. I think that, you know, sometimes apparently they do, sometimes they don't, but we'll find out. And it is a real issue and a real problem. We do need to be supporting Rush Holt's bill. He was a guest on this show a couple weeks ago. He raises important issues. I've written about this on Common Dreams 4 different times. You can find the articles on my website, tomhartman.com. And I agree with you. It's a problem. I'm not sure that it was a problem yesterday in California. But Susan in Santa Cruz actually lives in California. Susan, what are your tell those? I mean, here I am out here in the People's Republic of Vermont. Skylar is in Nashville. Hector was in Arizona. Mike in D.C. We've got Pablo in Santa Fe. I mean, you know, we're not there. What's it like on the ground there? What do you think about this?
Well, it's a beautiful day in paradise today. However, it was extremely disappointing yesterday, and I guess I expected, but I was hoping otherwise. And I'll tell you, it's scary. I saw kids at the polls, kids I've known in the neighborhood, you know, for years who have probably never voted before and out with their scarves on their heads and looking tough. And I knew they were just walking in there to vote for Schwarzenegger. And
yeah.
I'm sure that there was a whole lot of that that was going on. A lot of people came out who never vote. And there's just been a line fed here about the state of things, about how people, you know, can't get what they want, and, you know, they have a terrible government. It's a lie.
Well, they've done a great job of taking George Bush's deficiencies and laying them at the feet of Gray Davis.
Oh, they really did. Actually, Berkeley did a study that I read. I don't know if I sent it to you. I know I sent it. I think I sent it to Tony. That shows that the state of California was not in as much trouble as they're saying it is.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people believe things. I've also talked to a lot of people who tell me they're Republicans, and I go, well, why? And it's like my father was, and I am too. And when I get to engaging them in conversation, they don't really have a reason for being a Republican.
Right.
So it's a sad commentary.
Well, there's a bandwagon mentality too, Susan. If every radio talk show host that you hear as you tune across the dial is spouting the same talking points from the
except
RNC.
Except for Bernie and Ray Taliaferro at night, all the daytime guys. I mean, Ron Owens, it's like he's lost his brain. You know, they're kind of all I don't know what it is.
Well, they know where the money is.
Huh?
They know where the money is. They know where the money is.
I don't know if it's just that. I really don't think so. But I'll tell you, I have to say this. I want to make as good as I can see come out of this situation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think all things do work to the good in the end. And I think it's going to serve as a great wake-up call here because Arnold Schwarzenegger cannot learn the lines to become governor. He has to be governor.
Well, you might be surprised. They said the same thing about Ronald Reagan.
But Reagan had a history that Schwarzenegger doesn't have.
You mean a political activism.
Of involvement, organizational history. And Schwarzenegger
being a spy for the FBI when he was inside the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah, I know. And he was a turncoat. I know all that stuff. But, you know, it's just...
But at least he knew what politics was.
But I think people might wake up because, first of all, the state is in very bad shape because of the idea of referendums. You know, we have all these propositions. And we're the guys who vote where the money goes to. It wasn't Gray Davis. It was the state. It was us. And people have to, you know, I think they may wake up to their own responsibility.
Yeah, direct democracy is starting to bite the Californians in the backside, and they're saying, hey,
exactly.
Wait a minute.
Exactly. I don't view those kind of referendums as democratic, actually. But
certainly not in the vision of the founders of this nation of the new invention of democracy,
right.
And really not even in the old Greek democratic tradition because it was always representative democracy.
Exactly.
Susan, thanks for the call. I appreciate your sharing your thoughts and letting us know what it's like on the ground there in California. Esther is a trucker in Mississippi.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Esther, I'm great. How are you today?
Just driving down the road.
Okay, what's up?
Yeah, I'm a truck driver. I was listening to your show, and you're saying exactly what I've been observing and thinking for a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And the load that I'm carrying is a company out of South Carolina that's moving to Mexico.
Oh, my.
And I have to tell you that when I picked it up and heard a few things about the company that's moving over there, there were two people left that worked at the company. And it was sad. I got an empty feeling deep inside, and I carry that with me as I carry their things over the border.
Yeah.
Actually, to the border. We're not going to carry it over there. But the thing about the companies moving overseas or moving over the borders, I feel like there's a bottom line. And the things that are coming back are not any cheaper for us to buy.
Profit is being made. I mean, this is why the Walmart family, the Walton family in aggregate, the five of them since Sam died, are, you know, the wealthiest people on the planet. It's why the head of Nike is worth $6 billion or whatever, you know. I'm forgetting his name, you know, for a moment. But it's, they in some cases you get cheaper stuff. But the cheaper stuff, it's not so much cheaper that, in other words, if people had good union jobs or the equivalent of them, if people earned a living wage, yeah, you might have to pay a little more for stuff, but it would be you'd still have a better standard of living.
Oh, yeah. Well, the unions are getting the blame for all this anyway because we overpriced or outpriced the companies. But I believe the bottom line is no matter how cheap the products could be for us, if we're not working, we're not making money, we can't afford them anyway.
There
companies
you go.
Are downsizing and families are downsizing their own living. They're getting rid of their boats and their extra cars and having garage sales, and they're moving around looking for other work.
Yep.
And they're really screwing up our entire country. So
yeah.
I really appreciate your time, and I wanted to tell this to somebody who thought I wasn't Mel Gibson's sister with a conspiracy theory. And I love your show.
Thank you, Esther. Well said. Thanks for the call. I very much appreciate it. Keep that truck going straight down the road. And what a tragedy, moving a company off to Mexico. And that, you know, it's, well, I won't go off on another rant. You've heard them, and we've got a couple more callers here. Jeff in Denver's on the line. Jeff, what are your thoughts on all this?
Well, I liked your segment on where's the money. I thought we could actually do a segment on where could the money be.
Yeah.
And if you look at the cost of this war in Iraq, the invasion, it's guaranteed to cost about $2,000 per family of four. But like Congressman Mark Udall and others say it's going to probably cost over $500 billion. And many predicted earlier on it cost a trillion. But if you go by the $500 billion mark, that's over $7,000 per family of four. And if you look at the cost of putting a solar, you know, fully putting, make your house solar electric, that's about $14,000 or so.
Yeah, and not only that, you can pretty much double or triple that when you figure the cost of interest over the next 20 years, because this is all being done with borrowed money.
Exactly. So we could put solar energy, you know, make our house use solar energy and decentralize and make ourselves much more secure without giving the money to the government to begin with.
Oh, it's incredible. If you go to TomHartmann.com and then click on the homepage for the radio show, there's a counter on there from a group that is tracking the cost of the war, and you can click onto their page from that counter, and they've got the cost of the war translated into how many teachers we could hire for this, how many Head Start kids could go, how many college scholarships we could have, and this whole list of social things that the money could be used for, and it's updated by the second as dollars are being spent, and it is absolutely shocking to look at that thing.
Yeah, we could be doing a lot better if we just spend it other ways.
And we
be
could.
Much more secure.
We
Take
could. Amen. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for the call and thanks for your comment. I appreciate it. Mike in Santa Fe has some thoughts. 1-800-TALK-YES, by the way, is our number. That's 1-800-825-5937. Mike, we got about a minute left here. What's up?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for your show. And
thank you.
I know you love to be an optimist. I, on the other hand, am getting kind of pessimistic here. Because it seems to me that American public opinion is basically for sale. And you know, we don't have a culture for democracy left anymore. At the root of our culture is money talks and BS walks. And
how are we going to change that, Mike?
Well, when is the last time that anybody that wasn't a millionaire was even had a chance of running for national office anywhere?
Well, I can tell you here in Vermont, Bernie Sanders has a net worth that's less than $200,000. Pat Leahy has a couple $100,000. Jim Jeffords is not a millionaire. You know, our entire congressional delegation are not millionaires, and I know that they're not the only ones in Congress. So it's not totally gone, Mike.
I hope not. I'm getting pessimistic.
Yeah, well, get politically active instead, because that's what it's going to take. If we wake up enough people and we do it fast enough, we can take back this country. This is Tom Hartman telling the truth the multinational corporations don't want you to know. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you are ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Honey, I have got just what you need.
I've heard that before.
No, it's Dayquil. It'll help your cold symptoms so you can get back your energy.
Really?
You could even go shopping.
Shopping.
Designer handbags are 90% off.
Yeah. Because we're out of dog food.
Dayquil. The non-drowsy, stuffy head, sore throat, coughing, aching, fever help get back your energy. Medicine. Use it directed. And now it lasts 50% longer.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
The Mike Molloy Show.
An interview with George and Pickles from the current issue of Ladies Home Journal. They're asked about what September 11, 2001 was like for them personally. Although over 3,000 people had just perished, George W. was able to find some humor by the end of the day. The day ended on a relatively humorous note. The agent said, "You'll be sleeping downstairs." And I said, "No, we like our own bed." So I told the agent, "We're going upstairs." And the agent comes running up and says, "Run your tack, we need you downstairs." So there we go. I'm in my running shorts and my t-shirt, and I'm barefooted, got the dog in one hand, Laura had the cat.
I don't have my contacts in, and I'm in my fuzzy house slippers.
We're heading straight down to the basement because there's an incoming unidentified airplane which is going here toward the White House, and then the guy says it's a friendly airplane, and we hustle all the way back upstairs and go to bed.
And we just lay there thinking about the way we must have looked.
We got a laugh out of it.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Molloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Molloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Molloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Molloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Molloy Show, just say no.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth in Broadcasting. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Tell me it ain't so. I haven't seen this in the news. HypnoRoy46 in our chat room says the Democrats in Carolina, it doesn't say which one, are out whoring for a $500,000 corporate sponsor for their primary election. What sad news. I'm going to have to keep an eye out for that. Our program, by the way, today was produced by Joe McPherson in Atlanta and Louise Hartman here in Vermont. and engineered by the ever extraordinary Shar Jones in Detroit at IE America Radio's studios. And that said, Chris in Alabama is on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Chris, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, how's it going?
I am great. What's up with you, Chris?
I was calling kind of curious as to the sentiment regarding union activity in the American companies that are beginning, or companies in general, that are beginning to move their production environments and whatnot abroad.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I think that unions at one point had their place in our society and our culture. Back in the days when coal miners and auto workers were having to go through those terrible conditions. But, man, I've got a lot of people that I know that work with in a union environment where they're getting paid anywhere from 25 up to 40 bucks an hour to pretty much do whole bunch of nothing.
Yeah, Chris, there are places, and there are, you know, two of my three brothers are union members. In fact, they're both shop stewards. Anybody can point to places where union representation has been misused. But the broader issue is that labor does need representation. Capital has plenty of representation. The corporations have all the representation they need. They've got their lobbyists, they've got their trade associations, they've got their chambers of commerce. And who's looking out for the working person and saying, we're gonna fight for your health care, we're gonna fight for a pension for you? Who's doing that?
That's up to you to watch for yourself. And
give me a break. That's like saying every company out there should not have access to a chamber of commerce. They shouldn't be able to organize together.
Well, if it's just you and me looking
out for ourselves, we're screwed, Chris.
And let's look at the simple issue of the companies wanting to move abroad, however.
Chris, I'm sorry, we're running out of time, but the bottom line is these companies are using unions as the whipping boys, but even in non-unionized businesses, they're shutting them down and moving their jobs to China. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.